Good morning. You all survived Thanksgiving. Christmas is next. Hey, before we jump in this morning and continue with the word, just want to encourage you. These Advent readings are in the lobby. They were by the bulletin. Jody Gilry did a great job putting this together. I would commend it to you. Yes, there's a woohoo there. But it's just a real simple and a busy time of the season to orient ourselves toward the Lord. So snag one on your way out if you can. I remember it being cold. It was about this time of year, not how cold it was for you all. It was really cold. I was up north. And there was ice on the ground. It was a Sunday evening, and we had a Sunday evening service. We had them every week, and it was dark, cold, and the service was about ready to start, and I wasn't preaching, so I was kind of meeting with people in the room, and I noticed a guy come in the back door, and he came in, and he sat in the back left pew, and he was middle-aged, a medium build, but strong looking. I remember he had full head of hair. I always notice a full head of hair. He had a full head of hair with a little ponytail. And he had a jacket. And I remember thinking, oh, he must be cold because everyone else was coming in with hats and mittens and scarves. You all own mittens down here? No? Okay. And I went back to talk to him because I knew no one was talking to him. And as I sat down, he wouldn't look up. He would just look at the floor. Yet when I would engage him, he would raise his eyes, and his name was Bob. Bob. And Bob was at a place of despair. I could see in his eyes that he had little hope. And yet he had wandered in to the church that evening. You know, we all know Bobs. Sometimes we are he. Hope. Hope. I remember thinking as I chatted with him and heard bits of his story and got to see glimpses of his soul, what could I do for Bob? I looked at him. Service was about to start. I said, hey, Bob, can I pray for you? He said, please, please. We live in a weary world. If you take time to look, you will see brokenness everywhere. I was reminded how much we like hope versus brokenness. Catherine and I went and saw a movie. I won't tell you its name. I would spoil it for you. It was a good movie. All 2.5 hours. And then they killed the main character in the last scene. I got in the car. I was so mad I could have spit. Catherine, did you like the movie? It was okay. Well, what was okay about it? They killed the main character. There's no hope at the end of this movie. Our soul longs for hope. As followers of Christ, we know that Jesus is to be our hope. But sometimes we wonder, how could a Jewish rabbi who came as a baby 2,000 years ago bring hope to my very present, real and now? This morning, I want to look together with you at how do we find hope. We are starting a new sermon series that will run up to Christmas Eve. And its focus is deepening our identity in Jesus. When I come to the book of John, I like to ask two questions. And I like to keep it simple. Who's Jesus and so what? So our sermon title is Who is Jesus? And the so what that we're going to look at each week, we're going to focus in on an aspect of Advent. This week, I want to look at the what, why, and the how of hope in our lives. Now, I don't usually do this, but it's after Thanksgiving, so that makes it a weird Sunday before we get into December, right? I'm going to give you the application of the sermon up front, and I'm going to come back to it later because some of you all are going to go into a turkey coma in between here and then, and I've got you at your freshest. So here we go. If you want to find hope, pray. Pray. Now, I don't usually give the application, but when I give applications, I also will take time to recommend books. This book was written by Val Warner. She is a member here. She is an excellent writer. It is called Pray. Pray confidently and consistently. And then on the back, it says, a vibrant, unstuck prayer life can begin for you right now. I would recommend this book to your reading if you are a reader. Let me pray. Father, this morning as we look at hope and our identity in Christ, and that we will come to ask ourselves about our prayer life. Lord, I ask that you would meet us in this moment, even after a busy holiday. Father, as we look at perhaps one of the simplest yet deepest passages of all Scripture, may you open our minds, may you be the one to seed our hearts, and may our response be right. Lord, I thank you this morning, just catching glimpses of your body, your followers in action. From the Advent reading to China and the work, the good work that she is doing, to a book that Valerie wrote. Lord, I ask that you would continue to use us for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. John chapter 1, 1 and 2. This passage is considered the high Christology passage of the New Testament. There are several. This is one that is in the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Shall we read it again? It was short. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Hope. Hope. Hope is found in the plan, purpose, and person of Jesus. Hope is found in the plan, purpose, and person of Jesus. What is hope? First thing we see, it's a plan. I like here, John opens up, in the beginning. We should stop right there because for most, when we read in the beginning, it takes us back to Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning was God. There is hope in this world because God created. He created. This idea of in the beginning, God was there eternally and he had a plan and it was to create and his plan is still advancing. His plan for us is to relate with him, and to relate with others, to enter into his work. In Genesis 1, it says God created. It doesn't say that in John, but he's teasing our mind here. God created. The fact that God created means that you and I have value, purpose, and meaning. We are not meaningless because we are part of God's plan. But back to John. In the beginning was the Word. John shifts it here. This concept of the Word. What is hope? It is found in purpose. And purpose, we will see in the book of John, is found in this idea of the Word. In Greek, the term is logos. It means the essence. And it brings into focus our purpose. It's helpful to know some context here. For the Greek world that would have read this, they would have been familiar with the term logos. It would, to them, it was the highest philosophical reasoning. It was knowledge. Plato would write that it was the higher, truer reality, that goodness, beauty, and spiritual good, that was the logos, the essence. And in the Greek mind, there was the physical world, which was marred, but there was an ideal that was perfect. They also had the idea there were individuals running around that promoted something called Gnosticism. And it was another philosophy of thought. It was a super knowledge, but no one really knew what it was. I like this word. It was theosophical hodgepodge or spiritual fuzz. That's basically what Gnosticism was. And yet John writes into a world that when they would hear logos, he takes that word and he hijacks it. What would it meant to the Hebrew mind? If you were Hebrew and you read, in the beginning was the Word, well, you would think of the wisdom literature. You would think of Proverbs and Lady Wisdom, Sophia. And you would think this logos that John is talking about might be the mind or the counsel of God. Philo, one of their writers, called logos the firstborn of God. Yet not for John. To John, the logos, the essence, it was a term of power derived out of the Old Testament. And when we come to the New Testament, the Word was to be proclaimed, but it was also deeply personal. You see, the logos was a person who brings purpose. Purpose. Your and my purpose is to know Christ and to make Him known. Not only did God have a plan that gave meaning and value that places us into existence, but He has a purpose that we would know, not a concept, not a philosophy, but a person. The basic questions of human existence are these three. There might be others, but it is, who am I? Why am I here? And how do I love? Jesus in His person answers all three. We come to verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. This repetition was its emphasis. Jesus was eternal. He was the God, not a God. This messes both with the Hebrew monotheism and the Greek polytheism. The Greeks believed there were many gods. John here, you can't miss the claim. No, one God. And to the Jews, they had a concept of a just God the Father. But here we see John introduced the idea of the Trinity, that Jesus was equal and unto God. It's something new. The combination of the simple and the profound points to the fact that there is more. Jesus is indescribable. Jesus is beyond. Jesus was in eternity. Jesus was there at creation. He is the Word. I came to know Jesus at a fairly young age. Concept of Him, I accepted Jesus as my Savior at 6. I grew up with parents that were pursuing Jesus, and I heard the good news of the gospel early. Not much changed after 6. Life went on. And yet at 19, when I went off to the state school, I remember thinking, I know I've got a relationship with Jesus, but I do not know this guy well. And if I do not get serious with him fast, the world's going to be my oyster, and I'm going to write checks my body can't cash. 19, I asked the question, who is Jesus? And so what? At 19, looking back, if I would have asked the questions, who am I? I would have said, I am the center of my world, and the world is mine for the taking. I look back, and I think that was kind of young and dumb, but that's where I was at. I had Jesus, but he was not my identity. If I would have asked the question, what am I here for? Well, that was simple. I was going to make $1 million by the time I was 30, work till about 40, and retire in comfort. And then I would do whatever Jesus wanted. Sounded like a good deal. You give me the first half of my life, I'll go chase this, we'll keep you on the back burner, and when we hit 40-something, we'll flip it. God interrupted that by his grace. And if you would have asked Michael, me, how would you love? I probably would have said, well, you know, I got a lot of needs. It's about me. I'm now 42. My identity is staked on a person. And I pray it goes deeper. I love what Lewis writes. He talks of further up and further in. Our pursuit, our hope, who we are, our very identity is to be in Christ. Hope matters. We've seen the what, that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and it's embodied in a person. But why hope? Why do we need it? Why do we feel in our soul when a character's killed in a movie that we need hope? It's because we live in a world that has fallen. It has been marred. Pain, evil, suffering. It leaves a world without answers, and we feel the weight of that. No hope. Weary. While God had a plan in the beginning, he had a creative plan. He also had a redemptive plan. It was a rescue plan for me, for Bob, for you. It was centered on the Logos. He had a plan for our sin problem. John 3:16 records, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. In Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been justified, to use the big theological term. God has taken his righteousness, the righteousness of his Son, and he has given it to us. Who is the us? Are you ready? Murderers, pedophiles, adulterers, homosexual and heterosexual sin, abusers, bad parents, prodigal children, the profane, liars, cheats, addicts, the list goes on. For God so loved the world. But John, I love about who he is. Here in this book, he starts in the beginning, but he is also the one that writes Revelation, the last book. The end of the story, or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Christ will come and he will reign. There will be righteousness for the first time ever, completely. all things will be right. They will be new, a good ending. Jesus is coming again. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the infant lowly that we celebrate in this season will come again as the High King. The baby will rule. In the center of all worship, he will be there. Every tear will be wiped away. Hope will dawn. The plan is that we will be like him and we will be with him. The plan is to be known. The purpose is to be fully known by a person. You know, that sounds real nice, maybe even a little poetic. The beginning, the end. Yet we have to live here in the in-between, don't we? It is in the in-between that our identity must be solid. As I was talking to Bob that night, I wanted to know if he had any hope at all. Right before the service started, I said, I'm trying to think how to help him, and before I prayed with him and maybe never saw him again, I asked him, I said, hey, Bob, do you have a Bible? Churches typically have Bibles laying on around the place, handout Bible. Bob, you have a Bible? He said, yes, I have one back in the motel room. Said, where are you staying? He's like, the motel across the street. I was like, oh. Like, I tried to put my grandparents up there when I first moved there, and everyone was like, no, you don't want to put them there. I said, good, you have a Bible. And then I asked him, I said, Bob, I'll be praying for you. And I prayed for him, and I wondered, would Bob find hope? You see, all look for hope. All look for hope. We all look for purpose and a plan and to be loved. Where does the world find hope? I could rough it out for you real simply. Religion or self. There's no other options apart from the Lord. Religion or self. Let's look at religion. If you are Buddhist and you are looking for hope, you are offered nirvana and nothingness. Literally, that is the goal. Nothingness. Kind of in the opposite if you are Hindu. Instead of looking out into nothing, you look into self and you become enlightened in an endless cycle of karma. Karma is where, like, I would come back like a gnat if I was lucky. Islam knows nothing of forgiveness. Nothing. Only submission to Allah, who is a graceless God. Shintoism, smaller religion, they worship their ancestors and the cosmic force around. You will not find hope there. There is not a person. There is not Jesus. In another sense, sometimes we can just fall into religion. Anything can become a religion. I think of Catholicism. Apart from having a personal relationship with Christ, which the Catholic Church points toward Jesus, but if left just there, apart from a saving relationship, what do you have? Prayers to the saints, purgatory. An endless cycle of work, hoping you'll make it. Let's say we don't look at religion. Where do we find hope if we just say that's for everybody else, which is basically what our culture has done? Then we become a secularist. We reject religion. It's bad. We don't need it. We become a humanist, and we say that ethics and academia and economics will save and provide hope for all of our needs. Or we become an atheist and we say there is no God. Those over here, the only thing they can turn to is a life lived for self. I like this quote by G.K. Chesterton. Seemed appropriate in light of Thanksgiving. The worst moment for an atheist is when he feels a profound sense of gratitude and has no one to thank. Our hope is in Jesus. John, as his story unfolds, after he talks about the beginning and the Logos, John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." There is family. Jesus moves us from death to life. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in him that sent me shall be passed from death unto life." It goes on. Jesus redeems death. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life at the beginning, life at the end, life in the in-between. John 15, Jesus promises if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit, not for ourselves, but for his glory. A life lived for the Savior. We are all looking for hope. After the service, I was intentional and I caught Bob going out the door. And I was like, "Hey, Bob, man, you got a lot going on," and I didn't know the half of it. I said, "Bob, there's a restaurant down here called The Cozy Table. Could we get breakfast? I'll pick you up next Sunday." And I actually asked him then, I said, "Let's get breakfast tomorrow." He said, "That'd be great." He goes, I don't have much food in my hotel room." I said, "Good, I love breakfast, come on." And the next day, we went, and he showed up, and I was like, "Dude, where's your car?" He had walked. It was like 2 miles. He had walked to breakfast. I said, I'll drive you home. So we got back, and I said, "Bob, listen, you keep coming to church. Let's do this. I like breakfast. You like breakfast. We're talking about Jesus. I'll buy you breakfast the next 4 weeks before church. We'll meet, and then I'll take you to church, and let's read the book of John. We can read 5 chapters a week. We'll just talk about Jesus. I'll buy your breakfast." He's like, "Deal." Next Sunday rolls around. I show up to the Benton Motel, which is kind of like the Bates Motel. I was glad it was Sunday morning because no one was around. Everybody was asleep. And I went back into the hotel. It was dark and run down. And I went to his door. Remember, the crack under the door was that big, and I could see through the side, but it was all locked. Banged on his door. "Hey, Bob!" Nothing. I went down to my car. I thought, "Man, this place scares me." And I went back up in, because I thought, maybe he's a heavy sleeper. Boom, boom, boom. "Bob!" I'm waking no one's stirring. I'm like, "All right, I'll go to church." I thought, "I'll check on Bob tonight." So after the service that night, I went over and knocked on the door, and it immediately opened. I said, "Bob, dude, I missed you. You okay?" He said, "I'm sorry." He goes, "I was passed out when you came this morning." He said, "I found work late in the week, and Saturday I got bumped emotionally, and I just went to the bar, and I was there till 3. I made it home, and I passed out." "Bob, you addicted to alcohol?" "Yeah." "Ruining your life?" "Absolutely." "Well, Bob, let's try again next week." All are looking for hope. Hope flows from an identity in Christ. Hope, your and my hope, flows from an identity in Christ. So a week or two ago, Sophia was with your beautiful family, the Rivases. She came home and she taught me something about chihuahuas I did not know. I don't want to be blasphemous here, but it works. A chihuahua has a person. It's kind of like a soulmate. I did not know this. Like, there's one person that the Chihuahua, like, really, really likes, and everybody else they could just care less about, apparently. If you are a Chihuahua, Jesus should be your person. Okay? Send letters to Marcel Bulliard. Hope flows for our identity in Jesus, but there's times where we miss our identity in Jesus. Two dangers specifically. First, we misplace our identity. There's a long list here. The heart is an idol factory. One season you get the idol put out on the curb, your heart will build another one. It's how it works. Christmas makes the idol factory go crazy. Just a warning. I think December is the worst. We put our identity in stuff, relationships, family, food, shopping, sports, exercise. These are not bad things, but they are not who we are. Then there are things like money, power, sex, gender, addiction. These can also become our identity. Where you put your time and your passion is your identity. Sometimes we misplace our identity. Sometimes we just miss Jesus in the pursuit. And there's two sides to this coin. First, we can become distracted and we make our agendas greater than Jesus. Sometimes the agendas even come out, flow from his throne. This is happening a lot in our culture today. There are different things that we want to talk about and we're excited about. Liberation, social justice, politics. But when they eclipse Jesus, that is not good. We become distracted. We make too much out of a good thing and not the most out of the greatest. On the other side of the coin, we just get too busy. Sometimes in our pursuit of Jesus, for all the box checkers out there, we go to church, we read our Bible, we pray, we fellowship. There's a long list of great things. But when we start checking boxes, we tend to miss people. The goal is Jesus. I remember being in seminary. It was first semester, and they offered a speed reading course. I was like, that's weird. I'm going to take it, because if it helps me get through, I'm going to do it. And we did it over our lunch hour, and there were three classes. First class, they told us the philosophy. Second class, we practiced. And one of the things the professor said was, it's kind of like a muscle. You got to practice at speed reading. You don't do it naturally. So everybody went out of the class. You know, we're in grad school. We're all hopped up on coffee. We're practicing. And one girl came in, and she said, it was the end of the third class, and she looked really disturbed. She was on the front row. She'd been waiting the whole time. You know, she was one of those students, kind of rocking, waiting. Professor said, do you have any questions? She said, yes, sir. I've been practicing the speed reading during my time with Jesus in the morning. And then she started to cry, and she was like, and it's like I'm running by him and not even seeing him. And the professor just stopped. He was like, hey, slow down. The goal is to spend time with Jesus. And some of y'all know who you are. You're doers and you're box checkers. And there needs to be attention there, or we miss Jesus. How do we grow in hope? We've seen the what and the why. Now let's look at the how in closing. How do we grow in hope? We do it by deepening our identity in Christ. First, you and I must have a relationship with Jesus to have an identity. There must be a time or a season where you have come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. It is not religion. It is not work. It is a relationship with King Jesus. Second, you and I must order our priorities. Jesus must be number one in the number one box. And every season we have to pull things down below. Sometimes there are things that shouldn't be in our life at all, and sometimes there are things that are not bad things, but everything goes below Jesus. You know, people say that Christianity is complex. It's not that complex. It's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We are called to love God, to love others, and to make disciples of Jesus. Our priorities should revolve around that. How do we grow our identity, a relationship, our priorities, and last, prayer. Prayer. You and I, if we say our identity is in Jesus, need to talk to Jesus. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. May I ask, are you claiming in this season any promises of Jesus? Just find one or two and start talking to him about it. We are to tell him what concerns us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I like the quote by Bill Hybels, prayer is a bridge from despair to hope. To make Jesus your person, even if you're not a chihuahua, you need to talk to him. Be with him in the secret place. Pray. Oh, the secret place, that sounds cryptic and super spiritual, Michael. It's not. When I get up in the morning, my rhythm in life right now, and it has not always been, I have time. I sit and I talk to the Lord about what's going on in my day, what I'm worried about, what I'm concerned about, needs. I pray for my family. I pray for my heart. There have been seasons where that time was a hard time for prayer. There were kids crying in the house. We're out of that season. Thank you. Then there are prayers throughout the day as you go. Intentional time, lunchtime. I remember in Atlanta when I was there, all the coworkers would take smoke breaks. I was like, I'm going to take a prayer break. If these people can get up from their desk to smoke, I'm going to get up and go walk around and talk to Jesus. It's as we are going, we talk to him in our day. And then there is the end of the day. I had a wise mentor that said, first word and last word. May it be Jesus. For me right now, and I don't know for you, it's that last word that I struggle to get in. I am so tired at the end of the day. I get the kids off to bed. I snuggle with the wife, and I am out like a light. This Christmas, where will I be looking for hope? My prayer is in the last part of the day, that I would go just a little bit deeper and talk with Jesus. How is your prayer life this morning? How's your December looking? Are you worried? Will there be hope? There's always hope with Jesus. We just gotta go spend time with him. And what about Bob? Not the movie, Bob. What about Bob? Boy, all you that laughed are getting old. There weren't many laughters. Younger people don't even know what that movie is. You know, the little I could do that night in the church, we prayed. And that Sunday night when he shared what was holding on to him, we prayed. We prayed at the cozy table. I would pray with Bob when I would see him in the hall. I would pray for him in the morning. Then one day, Bob told me, Michael, I've got an uncle out in Washington. He's got a construction firm. He's going to pay my ticket out, and I'm going to have steady work. I said, Bob, that's great. Isn't Jesus good? I said, "Bob, can I have your number?" I called him once. I said, "Bob, how you doing?" He said, "Great, work's going well. I found a great church home. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying." Bob found hope. His name was Jesus. Let's pray. Father, the Christmas season for many is a time of high anxiety. We get busy. We get distracted. Good intentions through the year just go elsewhere. Lord, may we as a people this December in 2021 help us, Lord, find hope. Lord, where we need to increase, go deeper, grow in our prayer life, may you identify that and may we say, "I'm game." But even more, Lord, as we come closer to Jesus, as our identity sinks farther in, may we find hope. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand.